entertainer, and entrepreneur answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Larry Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Well, the host of the American Adversaries Drive Time Hour on AM 660, The Answer, who I'll introduce in a moment, instructed all of you on the true nature of the unscrupulous far left. I'm Larry Adams, and oops, a Hollywood god, super movie director, and lefty was emailing a top Sony Pictures, who is God in Hollywood, executive, lady friend, who's even leftier, about what movies the president likes. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, all those, oh, hey, you know, black movies. Oh, yeah, yeah, it's a joke. Listeners, I got to tell you, this shows their true heart. It really does. And it's nothing more than, yes, I sure do like watermelon talk from the elite left. And they're caught red-handed. Yeah, sure, there are racist conservatives, but they're much easier to spot. And many are honest about it. The difference is, conservatives give you a chance because that's what our forefathers demanded. Here's that host who showed their hand, Christopher Hart.
All right. Thanks so much, Larry Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. You got us, the American Adversaries, in Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. Once again, coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please don't forget, for the best in mercury free dental care, call my dear friend Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. We got a big show lined up for you tonight. Some great personalities going to be on the show. That was one you just heard, Larry Adams. I am the host, Christopher Hart. Dr. Ken V. Heck will be here in just a moment. And we also have a guest today, Regis Giles. And if you haven't heard of Regis, I think you're going to enjoy the conversation we're going to have with her today. And, of course, we'd enjoy having a conversation with you. 407-774-8255 is the number. And, you know, whenever I hear things like that, it reminds me of that we were just talking about, Larry.
Yeah.
And by the way, that all came about because of a big hacking. One of the most sophisticated, evidently, hacking crimes so far. But incident, crime, incident, whatever it is. Yeah, yeah. It's never, maybe we get them to go into the IRS and get those emails, those hackers. And while they're at it, they can go into the State Department and find Hillary's notes and things that we see. Cats just seem to get our hands on. Old Hills just misplaced them like she did the Rose Law Firm
Everything.
Records. Yeah. Anyway, it reminds me of that episode of All in the Family when Meathead, you know, Michael, the son-in-law, had come, he and Gloria had come home one night, and there was Archie and Edith watching TV, and they had come home with a new game, and it was a game about liberalism. And I can't remember the particulars of the game. I think they spun something kind of like the Game of Life, and it told them
answer questions.
And, well, it told them to do something.
Oh, okay.
And in this particular instance, what was supposed to happen was Michael and Lionel. Mm-hmm. Remember now, Lionel was the black character, right?
Uh-huh.
And they were supposed to lean against one another. And and Michael, I can't, as I say, remember the particulars, but it got into a big heated argument between Michael and Lionel because Michael was there to inform Lionel that he needed Michael to lean on. And Lionel took offense to that. And that is the attitude of white liberals, is that black people need them.
And that was written by a white liberal, by the way.
Yes, it certainly was. It was Norman Lear.
Norman Lear.
And it goes for all the other victimized groups. See, that's the whole part of their template. That's the part of their plan, you see, is to convince people that they need these white liberals. And I'm here to tell you, that's the last thing all these groups need. It's a sad thing. It's a sad day in the United States of America. And I could probably find some blacks who would agree with me on this. When segregation, blacks were better off under segregation. Because they weren't aborted left and right, for one, at the rate of 50%.
60.
The families stayed together. They might have been poor together. They may have been discriminated against, but they were discriminated against as a whole community. And by the way, they had a thriving economy. You had rich millionaires. You had black baseball. And what, by the way, happened to all the hundreds and, if you will, thousands of black baseball players who weren't good enough to make it to the major leagues? Yeah, that's right. They lost their jobs playing baseball. Yeah. So when you just go willy-nilly into things with the assumption that you are the person who is needed because you have the solutions, you have set yourself up for a sure failure. And that's what we are seeing with the liberals. And now they're exposing. I mean, this is beautiful. This is also like the Gruber thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is exposing them for what they are. Right? Here are these.
And they're so stupid they don't even understand. Gruber said all these things, not even understanding he was saying all these things.
Well, it was.
That arrogance.
It was the arrogance to think that he could get away with being frank and truthful. And when he got caught being frank and truthful, what did he have to do? Go up in front of Congress and grovel and lie. He meant what he said. When he said the American public was stupid and they relied on. Just go back and look at the events. Hey, we were telling you that long before Johnny Gruber came along and said it. It doesn't take genius. It just takes observation.
Yeah, in this case, it took some charisma by one guy.
All right, and speaking of charisma, it just walked through the door. Yes, sir. Dr. Ken Vihek is here with us. Hey, Dr. Ken.
How are you guys?
We're doing excellent. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Just got off the I-4 parking lot.
I heard about that on the way in.
Man, is it crazy out there.
It's nasty. We were hearing the traffic reports on AM 660, The Answer here. How you been? We missed you last week.
Well, I've been world traveling.
Yeah?
Yep. I've been up in Pittsburgh. I've been out in Vegas. It's just been all over the place doing what I do.
Yeah. Well, listen, I got a few things I want to talk to you about. But first of all, I thought you were going to talk, when you started out your opening remarks there, Lair, I thought you were going to talk about what I had said earlier this week about the Republicans in the House and the House leadership and how they were going to get this omnibus spending bill through and how it was going to take Democrats because there wouldn't be enough Republican votes.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It took 50
mm-hmm.
Democratic votes, and it just barely passed at that.
And Nancy's mad.
And then John Boehner gets up, I guess it was this morning, and compliments Congressman Dingell, who's a big-time liberal Democrat, and talked about how he has mentored people on both sides of the aisle. And he was just – so I have come up with a new nickname for John Boehner. We're going to start calling him Dingleberry.
Oh, man.
John Dingleberry.
That's a festive this time of year.
Oh, there you go. Deck the halls.
There you go. So we're tagging old John Boehner with the Dingleberry handle. So I hope you folks weren't surprised. I warn you, this was what was going to happen. And then Boehner comes out and says, well, we've been working on this for a long time. I'd like to know when and where and how. But evidently they were, because they got it worked out. But earlier this week...
Well, as long as Nancy's upset, it's almost like I don't care, as long as she's mad.
Yeah. Anything after that is a bonus.
I tell you what. Dr. K, earlier this week, I want to partake of your expertise. You're a psychologist.
Yep.
You study the brain and behavior and that sort of thing. Earlier this week, Dianne Feinstein's Senate committee released a report on the CIA interrogation techniques.
Yes.
Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am. The waterboarding and all those
things. All right. So basically, I have two questions for you, ultimately, okay. And we'll, I'm sure, have some tangents. But first of all, in your opinion, what were the techniques that you have seen in the report torture?
No.
And why do they not qualify as torture?
Well, they don't qualify as torture because there's no actual threat of death. You really can't be injured from these on a permanent basis. They're psychologically, you think you're going to die or you think that there's a possibility that you can, but the result of them is no, you're not going to. It just puts the person in that position where they're going to say, okay, I'll answer. Yeah.
I just got to say... I would have to put it more as, I would like to find it more as acceptable torture. I know that doesn't sound good, but a lot of these things, I mean, you know, they're beyond unpleasant.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, I'm not saying they're easy.
We just open up and say, look, that's what you do in warfare. You torture to a point, you know, acceptable mm-hmm. torture or whatever. I hate to put it that way, but let's be honest.
Yeah.
There are things you can do. I mean, sleep deprivation.
I will get to that, but respond to his point.
His point? He made one? But yes, I agree. This is what we do. This is why it's not right that it's not right. It's just that the public doesn't have the need to know everything that the military does to accomplish their missions.
Well, we don't cut off fingers and stuff like that.
No, we don't do that kind of stuff.
That's what I want to see if we can make the distinction here.
Yeah.
And the distinction, I think, is what you're saying, Dr. Kay, is that the reason that what they did was not torture because, first of all, there was no permanent physical injury that was inflicted upon these people. And two, there was no threat of death. In other words, there was sleep deprivation. There were things to scare them. But is that a fair distinction? That the reason it didn't qualify as torture is because no permanent physical damage and no threat of death.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Now there's a perception, but that's where you get your information from.
All right. Well, then that's where I want to go next. And Lair mentioned sleep deprivation.
Mm-hmm.
Are these effective techniques to get actual useful information?
Apparently they are. We get results. We get good information. We get good intel.
Well, what happens to a person when they're sleep deprived?
Well, when they become sleep deprived, the brain doesn't fire as it would normally do. A lot of the neuron connections can get jumbled up, shall we say. You don't think clearly. You become more emotional. Your brain starts to shift out of the prefrontal
cortex. I think
we've
all been there to some extent at one time
and
or another.
Are you more prone to letting the truth out because you're in this state where you can't control your lies?
Yeah, that's
well.
The point I was getting to is the prefrontal cortex where we do all our clear operational thought process becomes overridden by what's called the limbic system, which is the seat of our emotions. It's the mid part of our brain.
Mm-hmm.
So picture it this way. You normally have a million connections going from the limbic system out to the prefrontal cortex, but you only have a half a million coming back. So it says the prefrontal cortex acts as a filter. Well, by sleep deprivation, you take away that filtering capability of the prefrontal cortex, and now you start thinking more emotional.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, your trainings and all your rational thoughts to stop those things aren't able to occur mm-hmm. because of sleep deprivation. Now,
your defenses are broken down.
Exactly. Put it this way. Think about if you were not able to stop saying everything you thought. If you weren't able to filter whatever you were thinking and it came out of your mouth.
Like that movie Liar, Liar.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, he was supposed to tell the truth, but mm-hmm. this is everything.
Right.
Think of everything that you just thought of when I said that. And if you weren't able to stop that from coming out of your head.
Okay, real quick.
I'd be off
quick,
the air pretty quick.
There we go. Dr. Ken,
yeah.
Documented how many people have died from sleep deprivation, would you think? A tiny amount.
I don't think it's possible to die from sleep deprivation.
Okay, all right. How many people have died from having their heads sawed off?
Pretty much everybody, yeah.
Yeah, with a knife. I mean, we're not talking with a guillotine. We're not talking with an axe. We're talking sawing mm-hmm. motions with a knife while you're still living. I mean, I only saw a little touch of the Daniel Pearl mm-hmm. execution, but the poor man is screaming until he can't.
Yeah.
Well, so you think
torture?
Do you think then that the torture question aside, and I think your distinction is a fair one, and I think that's the legal one. But that aside, you think that the CIA directors who have come forward and said, oh, yeah, we got some useful intelligence, and by the way, we're still using that useful intelligence, you think they're more accurate than the report?
Yes.
And it's because of your knowledge of what happens to a human being in those situations.
Exactly. And also, just take it a step further, if anyone's sleep-deprived, it's one of the easiest and the quickest conditions to recover from. If you're sleep-deprived, if they have you sleep-deprived for a week or 10 days or something like that, you get a good night's sleep or two nights' sleep, and you're pretty much back to normal. There's no harm.
All right. So now your experience as a military man,
Yes. What
concerns you most about this report?
The fact that it's being put out there for the general public to understand or to hear about, because they won't have the understanding of the need.
And our enemies.
Correct.
All right. Okay, when we come back, we're going to be joined by our guest, Regis Giles. And she is the creator of the website, Girls Just Want to Have Guns.
Baby. I can just hear Cindy Lauper singing it. A girl just want to shoot guns. Bang, bang.
Speaking of Cindy, we got some Cindy when we come back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It is drive time on AM 660, The Answer, and we're coming to you live. 407-774-8255 is the number. Ken Vihek, Dr. Ken Vihek, Lair Adams, and me, Christopher Hart, are all in the studio with you this afternoon. And we now have on the line our guest today, who is Regis Giles, creator of the website Girls Just Want to Have Guns, who I've heard you a couple of times, Regis, on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters. How you doing this afternoon?
Doing great. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks for being on our show. I hope it won't be the last time.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell the audience kind of who you are and how you came up with the website, Girls Just Wanna Have... And by the way, folks, you spell Wanna, W-A-N-N-A, girlsjustwannahaveguns.com.
Yeah, I started Girls Just Want to Have Guns at the age of 18, and partially because I know how to defend my life, and I started learning at the age of 9. I've been training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu with the Valente brothers for 13 and a half years now. I just recently received my black belt from them, and I'm the first female to do that in their academy. So
congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Great.
And I've been shooting just as long. So I have the fortitude and the wherewithal to defend my life. And I was seeing in the news countless stories of girls being abducted and unable to defend their lives. And I wanted to stop this and start giving women the fortitude to turn from prey to formidable defender.
Is that what your website's all about?
That's what it's all about. We really focus on women's self-defense, Second Amendment issues. I also go into national and international news just because it's, you know, I believe that knowing what's going on in the world is part of your defense and being able to be prepared for whatever is, you know, happening nationwide. I also believe the women in the nation should be informed on what's going on instead of, you know, just sticking around their small little world. So that's why, you know, on Girls Just Want to Have Guns, you find everything from Second Amendment rights to international politics. So, it's been a great campaign, and I've had many women come to me and say, you know, Regis, I never considered self-defense. I never considered carrying a gun, but you've motivated me to go out there and learn how to defend my life. And that, to me, is music to my ears, and I'm very happy to hear that.
At what age do you think a woman should start carrying a weapon, a gun?
Whenever it's legal.
Okay. All right.
But I don't believe that that law is actually necessary to make it. I don't think it's constitutional that it should only be the age of 21 where a person is able to carry a firearm on them. But that's for another discussion.
Okay.
I believe that whenever a woman is prepared to carry a firearm, you know, and that meaning she's trained and knows how to operate her firearm, she should be carrying on her.
All right. At what age do you think a girl, I've often thought that girls as young as elementary school should be taught some form of physical self-defense, using knees, elbows, you know, whacking guys in the throat with the back of their head, whatever it takes. At what age do you think that that should be taught?
Honestly, I think as young as 3 years old is good. The more comfortable the child is with knowing how to, you know, do the moves and techniques, mm-hmm. the more confident they feel in themselves.
Yeah.
And it also instills a discipline in their life that helps them along the way in their schooling and with their family.
Let me ask Dr. Ken Vihek, same question, Dr. K. What age do you think, girls, and do you think it would be a good idea?
I really do. I believe that, as she does, that, you know, the earlier the better that you can get the children trained in self-defense or to say no and have handguns as soon as it's legal.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Bernadette just got her carry permit.
Is that right?
Yes, she did.
Dr. Bernadette
yep.
Vihek. Hey, Regis, can you stay through the break? And we've got some more questions for you.
Absolutely.
All right. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk. We're going to sort of change gears and talk about a whole other subject with Regis, the UVA rape false charges mm-hmm. that were reported by the Rolling Stone.
AMC.
We'll be right back.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart once again for SoundbiteRx.com with just a taste of the new medicine, brand new today. Have you heard of the expression or the word frenemies? Frenemies. Well, get used to it because we may be talking about it Monday with Abe Katzman because there's an Israeli leader who says that we, as allies, should be courting these people, frenemies. I got an idea that he's probably talking about the Saudi Arabians and other Arab countries. And Mitt, yep, now even Mitt is talking about running for president again. So I guess it's maybe just a matter of time before he throws his hat back in the ring. You'll find that story brand new today at SoundbiteRx.com. And guess who was cussing out the press lately? No, not us. Barack Obama. That's right. According to Ann Compton, he had a few choice and pretty nasty words to say about the press, to the press. Yeah, I wish I would have been there. I know he wasn't talking about us, because after all, I'm the one who wants to kiss the man on his lips. Also this, Hillary can't find her files. I told you, she put him with the Rose Law Firm records. That's a story you'll find today at SoundbiteRx.com. Also, this is choice stuff. 16 facts you'd love to know and tell about Al Not So Sharpton. You'll find them at SoundbiteRx.com. It's good medicine, folks. Please go there. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got us on this Friday Eve, and I hope you got a great weekend lined up. And it should be a pretty nice weekend, too. Some pleasant weather. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you're enjoying the show. Lair Adams, me, Christopher Hart, and Dr. Ken Vihek are in the studio live. We have Jeff Sinis on the bridge tonight. Nick LoCicero's off to be the best man in a wedding this weekend. And he says he keeps getting closer and closer to being the actual groom. But there's only one step away now, there, Nick. But we want to thank Jeff Sinis for being on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is our number. Our executive producer, Nostradamus, will be joining us just momentarily. Right now, we still have on the line with us Regis Giles, creator of Girls Just Want to Have Guns. And, yeah, she totes and she uses her gun and is not afraid to as well. So welcome, as I said, back to the show, Regis. Thanks again for being with us. You have been outspoken about this UVA rape charge that was brought to light, if you will, to Fantasy by the Rolling Stone. And first of all, what's your take on it?
I think it's absurd that the Rolling Stone didn't complete their Journalism 101 course in college and decided to publish a story without getting the full background before they sent it to the publisher or sent it to the press, because word's out and the account of Jackie, this Jackie character, doesn't seem to be true, and even her friends are saying whatever she said in that article isn't what they heard from her night of or even saw. So.
Right.
It's kind of a, you know, a tragedy in the journalism history to really see this happen, and I think Rolling Stone should have their doors shut for continuing to publish stories without full background behind it.
This is my take, and I gave this on our Sunday night show this past Sunday night. First of all, I think the sad fact is you said they failed Journalism 101. I'm here to tell you they probably got A's and B's. Because what they are teaching is what I called template journalism. And template journalism is, and this is what, and wasn't the reporter's name Erdely, something like that. Anyway, she freely admitted that she had already come to the conclusion of the article, of the story. She just needed some names and dates to fill in the details. And so when she heard about this story, it fit her preconceived conclusion, and so she ran with the story, thinking why she didn't need to check the facts because she knew that something like this happens all the time. And I believe that is what journalism has become in this day and age. It's nothing but template journalism when it comes to racism. Okay, we have a template for, okay, let's throw the racism template on Trayvon Martin or on Ferguson. Police brutality template. Let's throw that one down on the Michael Garner thing in New York. You see where I'm coming from here, Regis?
Yeah. No, I understand completely. And it's sad. It's really sad to see that our society has come to this point where, you know, they run with rumors and they don't look into the facts of the stories. And then you've got, you know, like you said, with the Ferguson event with Michael Brown, you've got those riots that, and people's lives are put in danger because of it. People's lives are affected because of not being able to investigate and understand the full story. And, you know, this woman, Jackie, has placed these fraternity guys' reputation on the burner, and they now have to restore their reputation because of her accusation.
Yeah, let me get – Dr. Ken wants to say something.
Yeah, and Regis, I also think that it's caused a lot of damage to the – actual people, the women who are raped on campus.
Oh,
now when they go to report this, they're going to be looked at with a suspect eye, because even more so than they are already. So it damages the credibility of anyone who's going to go and, you know, put themselves through what it takes to report a rape. And I don't know if you've ever been through one of those exams or been trained in that or seen how they do that. It's a very humbling and humiliating experience for what has to be done. All the evidence has to be collected a certain way. It's just, you know, something that a lot of people don't want to put themselves through. But then you throw this on top of it, then you're going to further suppress somebody to want to come forth.
Yeah, and Regis, I'll go back to you. But real quick, Dr. Ken, what would make a woman make such accusations as this? I mean, because they're so blatantly false.
Yeah, there can be, you know, a lot of personal reasons for this. Maybe, you know, somebody didn't, do something for her.
Guys,
or certain.
I got two names for you. Tawana Brawley.
There you go.
I mean, same with the lacrosse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Regis, your thoughts, and then Nostra Dennis has a question for you.
No, I agree completely with the doctor, and I've been saying it countlessly over and over. Any rape victim now is going to have a very hard time being able to be believed. And, you know, it honestly, I don't care the person's background. I care about the crime that was committed. And no one should have to be subjected to that kind of violence. And, you know, if it was an honest rape, they should be able to prove it without, you know, a lot of, suspicion from the authorities. And these kinds of people, like Jackie, like Lena Dunham, who are, you know, coming out with these false stories of rape, they're what I like to call an STD to the world, and they're making it completely hard for the actual victims to be able to prove themselves.
All right, Nostra Dennis, you've been waiting on the line patiently. Your question, please, for Regis Giles.
Yeah, sure, Regis. First, let me let our listeners know that if you go to our Facebook page, American Adversaries, you can get a link to Regis's Facebook page, Girls Just Want to Have Guns, which gets you to girlsjustwanttohaveguns.com. And I highly encourage anyone who wants to peruse through the news of the day. She puts stories up there, several dozen of them are up there going back the last week or two, about just how insane society has become. So I want to thank you for that, Regis.
One of the
things I wanted to ask you about, what is this about Girls Just Want to Have Guns, the movie? There's a movie in the works?
Yeah, I just recently launched the Indiegogo campaign, which is a fundraising campaign for a documentary I'm going to work on. It's called Girls Just Want to Have Guns, the Real War on Women, and it'll be a response to Michael Moore's bowling for Columbine. And we're going to prove that the real war on women is being spawned by the left, who are trying to take away guns out of the hands of women who've used firearms in self-defense. So I'm going nationwide. I'm going to be interviewing a lot of women, a lot of people who are against guns, a lot of, you know, famous names that you might have heard in the news. And we're going to tackle this thing head on and hopefully change a lot of minds, too, with this documentary.
All right, great. Any other questions, Dr. Dennis?
Yeah, Regis, have you found that in recent years more women than previous are more willing to think about owning a gun or defending themselves or learning martial arts, as you suggest?
Oh, absolutely. You see, you know, state by state, the amount of women going to get their concealed carry is like increased 40%. The market is out there for them, and the women are responding, and that's why the, you know, gun manufacturers and all the gun ranges have now started creating female products, because it's there, the women are ready and willing to buy, and a lot of them are coming in there for self-defense purposes. You will see countless stories of gun ranges asking women, why are you coming in here for, you know, a gun? Is it for shooting recreationally? Is it for hunting? And you have those small percentages, but most of the time it's for self-defense. And that is, like I said before, it's music to my ears to hear this, because that was the whole goal behind Girls Just Want to Have Guns.com.
What's your particular gun of choice?
Well, that's
my gun of choice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I carry a .38 special.
All right. There you go.
Well, Bernadette's got, just, I said she has her concealed carry. She just got that a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And so we went out and got her a nice Ruger 9mm. Yeah. It also already has the laser sight incorporated into the grip from the factory.
How about that? Yeah.
So as soon as she puts her hand around the weapon, the light's on. So now whenever I come into the bedroom, honey, it's me! It's me!
Yeah. Yeah, my dad used to carry around a chrome-plated 38 lemon squeezer special. Are you familiar with what a lemon squeezer is, Regis?
I'm not.
It's where the safety was actually in the handle of the gun, and you squeezed it a certain way in order to shoot it.
Wow.
All right. Thanks, Regis. We really appreciate it. Keep up the good work, and we'll look forward to talking to you in the future. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
My pleasure. And if anyone's interested in the documentary, I suggest going to the website, girlswithoneoutguns.com. Right-hand corner is the link to it. If you believe in the cause, go ahead and give some money. Because we're going to need all the support we can to get this project going.
All right. We appreciate that. And we're tied into you on Facebook. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. That's right, folks. We're the American Adversaries. It's getting dark out there.
Is that Darth Vader music or something?
That is Rusev's entrance theme on the WWE, and he is the Russian,
along with Lana, his manager.
Hottie. Oh, she's a baby.
Hey, what was that story you found on her website there?
Oh, the one that said, hey ISIS?
Yeah,
or,
hey
liberals, ISIS just threw a man off a roof for being gay?
That's like a great website to me.
It looks like it. You know, I was looking at it. Regis does some nice work.
Yeah, she does. So you're going to have to check it out, and Nostradamus will tell you how here again, once again in just a minute. You know, when she first came on, the first part of the show, we had this song by Cyndi Lauper. And, you know, girls just want to have fun. You know, girls just want to have guns. But speaking of Cindy's, a friend of mine, Cindy, is having a birthday today. So I want to wish Cindy a happy birthday. Do we have any? There you go.
Thank you. Let's wish Patty a happy birthday, too.
Oh, okay.
Patty, friends, I'm their godsons. I'm their father. Godfather of their son. I'll put it that way.
Patty,
get together and have a party.
Yeah. Get everybody together.
When Patty has a birthday cake, is it a patty cake?
Patty cake.
He's on top of his game tonight. All right, folks, welcome back. As I said, 407-774-8255 is the number to call. Real quickly, though, I want to go back to Dr. K, and then we're going to go back to Nostradamus before we move away from this UVA story. The thing that kind of astonished me was the readiness and willingness of so many people to believe this sort of thing. Why do you think that is so?
Well, because honestly, what I think it is that the American psyche is primed for this. If you look up priming in the psychological term of what priming is, it's like if I tell you I want to show you a picture of like ducks. And then I start showing you to count the ducks, and you're already predisposed to see ducks. I can show you things that really aren't ducks, but you'll see ducks because I've primed you for it, okay? It's a mental test that we do. And because of what the recent things that have happened, because of you know, the Ferguson, because of the different things that we're seeing, oh, you got these travesties against the American populace or against this people or against this group or against that, that they're willing to accept that something bad is going to happen to somebody else if you throw it out there. It's just going to be like, hey, let's throw it on the wall and see what sticks today.
Yeah.
And that's basically what you're experiencing. So, and that probably sold a lot of copy as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can't discount the profit motive in there as well.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Always follow the money.
Speaking of the money thing, Lair predicted real early on with this Ferguson thing that these riots was going to cost the community. And Nostradamus has some evidence of that. Do you not, Nostradamus?
It really is. There's already seen a financial effect on the area. Mm-hmm. The University of Missouri, St. Louis, earlier this week, announced a hiring freeze for personnel. Why? Because there's an unexpected enrollment drop that campus officials are linking to the shooting in nearby Ferguson. The chancellor said there's a $2 million budget shortfall for the coming year, and the university with enrollment of about 12,000 expects to have 600 fewer students in the upcoming spring semester. The campus is 4 miles away from where Darren Wilson shot Michael Brown 2 weeks before the start of fall classes. Let's put it in that perspective. The local campus of Seminole Community College up in Lake Mary is less than 4 miles from where Trayvon Martin was shot by George Zimmerman.
Wow. Dr. Kay, any thoughts?
Yeah. Well, the economic impact on any business in that area, plus look at all the insurance claims are going to have to be paid out now.
Yeah.
And then their rates are going to go up.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to look at a major drain in areas that we don't even think about.
And the number of white people that aren't going to feel secure, and they're going to move out.
Yeah.
And black people who will move out,
well,
too,
that's true.
For the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
For the very same reason. It's devastating. But this is part of the problem that with template journalism, and part of the reason why they do it, is because this is the reaction they're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking for that outrage. They're looking for that pliability of the masses, if you will, mm-hmm. in order to sort of corral them and force them in a mob sort of fashion into this direction or that.
Yeah. Well, and also you have to take into account that the reason template journalism works so well is because it's the familiarity of the story.
Yeah.
Right? And they can take it and they can apply it to different subjects.
Yeah.
And it reads the same. Now, when I was writing for The Tonight Show, we were always told to keep in mind that the American psyche, the memory of America, is only 3 days long.
Mm-hmm.
So you tell a joke so that, you know, in 3 days it's going to be vaporized. They're not going to remember it anyway. That's why when
Or current events. Yeah.
Yeah. So whenever Jay was doing a joke, if he was doing a callback from a week ago, he would say, hey, you remember when I was talking about this? You remember when I was talking about this? And it primes the mind again to mm-hmm. think about that. Otherwise, the joke would be gone.
Right.
So if they don't use this template, then they're not going to be able to stir the people yep. as much as if they were just writing a brand new story.
Right. Yeah. And that's why I say this is why they teach the template.
Yes.
In journalism school. The fellow that we have on the line, though, Nostra Dennis, was smart enough to skip those classes when he was studying communication in college, right, Nostra Dennis?
And, you know, yeah, and Coach Ken, it's funny you mentioned Leno, because that same template, I was thinking of the guy on the other network while you were writing for Jay,
yeah.
who for about 3 years, all he had to say at the end of any joke was, "What a Fugo!"
Buttafuoco, yeah.
Yes,
Buttafuoco. Oh, yeah.
Get a round of applause for that.
Yep.
Yeah. Nostra Dennis, one of the reasons, or the reason why I chose that bump music, the Rusev theme coming back, was because of the dictatorial fashion, if you will, of the First Lady's school lunch program and how it is only for the commoners, but not for the uncommoners, right?
Yeah, now we've covered this before, but I'll cover this again, okay?
All right.
Sidwell Friends, the hoity-toity private school in Washington, D.C., where Malia and Sasha attend school. By the way, the tuition is $36,000 per year, but it includes a hot lunch.
Oh, well, hey, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, but tell us about the lunch they get. Yeah.
This is the menu from a day earlier this week for both the middle school and the upper school. Potato sausage soup, firecracker slaw, California chef salad, all-natural Jamaican jerk chicken, sweet potato black bean bake, sautéed local greens, sliced pineapple, and Gemelli Alfredo. I thought Gemelli Alfredo was the waiter, but apparently...
I was going to say, let's call Cafe Positano, find what the heck that is.
This is not a week's worth of menu. This is 1 day's worth of offerings that any student in the school can have as much of any of these items as they want. It's been paid for.
You know, when you think about it, you got to figure that it's worth it, Dennis, because these are wealthy children, and they need more than the regular kids.
You can't just have spaghetti. You have to have the Gemelli Alfredo.
What kind of privilege do we call that? No, never mind.
Yeah, you don't want to. No, don't open that door.
All right, Nostra Dennis, I'm going to let you go. Thanks a lot. Great work. Once again, where can we find Regis?
Yeah, well, you can either go to Facebook and look for us, American Adversaries, or you can just look for Girls Just Wanna, WANNA, Have Guns. And the website is girlsjustwannahaveguns.com. And I'll tell you guys, it's almost like a smaller version of the Drudge Report. She's got dozens of stories up there if you page through it.
Yeah.
A lot of entertaining stuff.
And we're going to, of course, link to her with our new website, which is coming next week. All right. Thank you, Nostradamus. We appreciate you being out there. All right. Before we get to Sherry, I just want to tell you folks, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock is the Apopka Christmas Parade.
There you go.
One of the best parades in Central Florida. So be there. The AM 660 van and the 1520, 950 Yukons, they're going to both be in the parade. So make sure you wave at the guys from the station here.
Yeah, wave at them. Wave at the Shriners because we're going to be there.
Yeah. All right. Dr. Kent's going to be in the parade.
Driving the antique cars. And,
so how can people recognize you when they see
you? I'll be in the 66 T-Bird with the black vinyl roof.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I used to have a 64 T-Bird. Yeah. It's the same model.
Yeah, well, it's the one that's got the rounded back seat.
Yes,
and the swing away steering wheel.
Sideways steering wheel. That's fantastic. In the 66 T-Bird, you will see Dr. K, folks. So I know a lot of you folks are going to be at that parade tomorrow. So shout out
there
to
you
him.
Go.
Hey, I hear you on the American Adversaries.
Yep. I'll either be in that or I'll be in the Sphinx for the Shrine. So one of those two. We'll be out there.
So. But he will be there, folks. Yeah. And don't forget. Put it on your list of things to do next week. You want to enlist in the American Adversaries Army, where Dr. K is also a 5-star general.
Yeah.
Let's go now to Sherry on line one. Sherry, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there, and Merry Christmas to you, young lady.
Well, Merry Christmas to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry.
Listen, I listened to Dr. Phil today.
Yeah?
Did you hear him, Joe?
No.
Well, he had Sabrina Fulton and the Brown family and everybody else on his show.
Oh, boy.
It was absolutely disgusting. I wanted to stick my finger down my throat.
I could just imagine that little love fest going on there.
But
yeah.
Listen, you need to go. I don't know where you can go online. When his show is on at 3 o'clock, it's normally repeated the next day at noon. So it will be on Monday at noon.
All right.
And, I mean, he's going after, our police department.
Yeah.
He had Roland. That Roland guy on, he had mummified jet.
Yeah, Sherry, I got to stop you right there simply because we're out of time.
Okay,
but
honey.
We'll try to check him out Monday. I'm sure there's going to be some sound bites from that. But real quick, what do you think about Dr. Phil, Dr. K?
Well, you know, I'm sure that at one time he was a really good clinician.
And then came TV.
That probably says it all. By the way, congratulations to your son who's been accepted where?
UNLV, into the Stage and Screen Acting Program.
Congratulations to him.
AJ just, he blew him away at the audition, and they said, I only accept 12 people a year for the program, and right after the audition, they said, you're in.
That's it.
I want to thank Mike and Paul for a good game of golf today. It was a beautiful day out there.
All right. Congratulations.
Did they let you win?
Nobody lets Dr. K win. He takes
That's
the victories.
I don't get anything from anybody. I take it all.
All right, folks, we hope to see you Sunday night. We'll be here live at 5. You have been listening to the American Adversaries.
Get that Christmas shopping done, but be careful of driving, folks. There's lots of traffic out tonight. We'll
the American
see you
Adversaries
Sunday.
Army coming next
have
week.
Have a good one, guys. Thanks a lot.
The Answer, 24 RL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of